What is up, everybody? This is Sean with Press X to Start. We're here to give you the latest in news, reviews, and all things gaming. This is episode 47 of season 4. I am your host today, Sean MF Ross.
And what's the MF stand for?
I have nothing this week, actually. I'm devoting all my time to being a host.
Thank you for your service.
Hey, don't you hate when people say that to like veterans? They're like veterans who are just working in the soup kitchen. It's like, thank you for protecting my freedoms. What?
Man, I'm at Applebee's.
Anyway, to my left, or rather my front, who we got talking?
I am Douglas Nivens II, a.k.a. as a senator before the Court of Appeals of Maryland, sitting in the great city of Annapolis. I am Cancel Ipsa Dixit, exuberant Barrister of Baltimore.
Yay!
And I am Jordan, a.k.a. JXPod, a.k.a. Jordan of Raventhorpe.
Woo! Yeah. Woo! Hopefully, unlike the Ravens, you don't have COVID.
Oh, yeah.
What it is, everybody? This is your boy, Cameron, a.k.a. the dad who came back from getting the cigarette, a.k.a. I'm only here for the holiday time so I can get my presents, a.k.a. the Sultan of Segways. Hope you all are having a great holiday season.
All right. With that, we're all introduced. We'll see if you're still the Sultan of Segways. But let's get into what we've been playing. I guess first, it's me and Jordan. So, Jordan, what you been playing? What you into?
I'm still trying to get my way through AC Valhalla, man. It's not as overbearing as Assassin's Creed Odyssey was in terms of the scope of its story and also its physical environment, because AC Odyssey was basically the full-blown Greek Isles, and that shit was crazy.
Yeah.
But with this one, you know, it's more manageable mentally in terms of what I have to do next, in terms of the extra off-the-beaten-path content you might go to in a second based on our conversation in the chat. And, yeah, if I would put a number on it, or at least my rough estimation is about, I'm about two-thirds through the game right now at hour 65. I'm not going to go into,
we are not going to finish this before Cyberpunk.
I'm going to try my damnedest to finish it. I mean, like, if, and I'm not going to go into like any spoiler territory, but there are some like locations outside of where you were, like in terms of England, and you already been to Asgard, but there's other locales.
Realms?
Not necessarily realms, but I'll have you experience, you know, like some surprises on your way through your playthrough. Other than that, story's still engaging. Characters are improving in terms of like their goals and as adjacent to yours. Eivor is starting to come into themselves in terms of like their role as leader of this Viking horde. And yeah, I haven't struggled so much so recently with the zealots and mid-tier bosses.
Once I unlocked that missile reversal and then that evasion skill, I went hunting them down.
Oh yeah,
no. I killed like three or four so far.
Yeah, no, the evasion skill, which back in Assassin's Creed Odyssey was already a set passive, but in Valhalla they made you unlock it through the skill tree, and that is one of the more critical combat systems I would suggest anyone to get that who gets this game to get, because you know it's very forgiving compared to Assassin's Creed Valhalla, Assassin's Creed Odyssey with the quick time, like the amount of time you have to dodge and have it trigger.
Okay. I have had a lot of different interesting experiences with this game. I'm liking the way they did the side quest. A lot of it, like, in most games, they have a side quest. It's like a fetch quest. So you have to leave and go find something, bring it back, whatever. And this game, they're just little moments where they're asking you to do something. I think, one, this brother was arguing with his other brother because one was making the wheat, the other one was selling it.
Yeah, that was a funny one.
The one selling it felt like he deserved an 80% share just because he was finding the sales.
Finder's fee.
So, yeah, so smart. Eivor's solution was just to burn all the wheat. Y'all gotta start over.
The wheat was a fissure in their relationship, so the Viking was like, you know what, let's just burn this fucking
thing. Did the brothers go along with this? Or they're like, you just took my wheat, man?
Kinda.
I want to say, did they fight?
No. Like, no matter what the outcome, they do just kind of come together. But the kids are crying about it because they're seeing their home burn now.
Oh.
Okay, well, there's one mission where I think there were two brothers fighting, and you could just sit there and watch it happen.
Yeah.
And they were, like, kicking the shit out of each other. It's kind of funny. Another one was I came across this lady singing really, like, eerily.
Uh-huh.
And there is this house, and you read it, and it has, like, a poem on there, like, three little piggies today, five tomorrow, something like that. You walk up to the lady to speak to her, and then a house nearby, a door opens up. You walk into the house, and the door slams shut behind you, and there's poison in the house. Apparently, she's been killing people, and they're, like, bodies hanging from the ceiling. There are bodies in the river next to the house, and fortunately, I had encountered poison before, so I knew you're just supposed to throw your torch at it and burn it.
Mm-hmm.
And I jumped out the window, and there she was, like, what the hell are you doing out the house? And she runs off, so he's like, nah, bitch, you're not running away from me.
She had a plan.
He chases her down, like, and they're running around a tree, and she tries to, like, hit him with the okey-doke, and she was kind of quick, but, I mean, fortunately, I was able to defeat her. And then I threw her body in the river along with the other bodies.
Wait, what?
This game has, like, some strange, strange side quests.
Yeah.
I'm going to upload some of them if I can remember, like, record them. Another one, like, this guy was yelling that he was the king of the hill.
Oh,
and he
yeah.
could beat anybody's ass. And I was like, oh, really? So, you know, I went up and challenged him, defeated him. He's like, I'm sorry. I'll never do it again. I won't challenge anybody ever again.
And then immediately.
And you walk off, and he's still popping his shit. So you go and beat him again. And he's like, truly, truly, you are the king of the hill. I apologize. I walk off, and he's still talking shit. I'm like, oh, how many times am I going to teach you this lesson, old man?
At a certain point, he's just liking it.
I mean, Sean, Eivor literally says that. Like, how many times do I have to beat you half to death? How many times?
Yeah, finally, you do beat him, and he leaves. I think it takes, like, three times. Mm-hmm. But it's just strange stuff like that. Or DJ actually came over. I had him try out the PS5 yesterday, and I was showing him clips from my gameplay. You really have to pay attention to your surroundings in this game.
Mm-hmm.
I hopped off the horse thinking I was about to go get some treasure, not realizing that there were two bears behind me.
Yeah.
And whoa.
I got a clip of it, like, oh my God, like, oh shit.
Just two bears, just chilling.
And yeah, but I wasn't expecting it, so they damn near killed me. But
Sean, what's your weapon art? What are you using?
What is that?
Like double axes, a broadsword, axe and a sword, axe
I'm
spear,
using
sword
double
spear.
Axes for now. Mm-hmm. I have the original axe that you get, Varen's axe. I think that's his father's axe.
Yeah.
I upgraded that to mythical.
I tried the longsword, and that's just easy mm-hmm. mode. Once you like upgrade it all the way up, you're just hacking through them. They can't block your attacks anymore. And also, I did try...
I may try that.
Yeah.
You upgraded to what, Sean?
I upgraded it to mythical status, so it's fully upgraded.
So do you shake it fast?
And I watch myself.
Wait, you were able to get gold?
Yeah.
Where'd you find gold?
When I say I'm all over the map, you have to understand how I play open world games. Jordan was kind of admonishing me because I jumped into Valhalla, which is level 50 required mm-hmm. or level 90 recommended. I was like level 50 at the time. And there was one battle where I was stuck in for like a good couple
the
hours
wolf,
because
he
just
kept...
Right. No, the wolf took me like two tries. It okay. was the
big boy,
the builder. Yeah, and I had to unequip some skills because the skills that I had, you know, on me was forcing me to like. It just made the fight unwinnable.
Right.
Interestingly enough, you don't have to kill everyone in this game.
Mm-hmm.
You just have to hit the objective. So like raids, I just did a level 220 raid. I'm still only level 90. You literally just have to get the wealth in the game,
mm-hmm.
and raid over and you're done. Same thing with Valhalla. So, I mean, what level are you now, Jordan?
I'm level 227.
Gee. Damn, I'm level 100.
So I'm just like, the way I've been playing is, I mean, like, you know, and Cam kind of remembers how Odyssey was. Once I get to a certain region, I try to do as much as I can within it, then clear so yeah. I don't ever have to go back to it. Because once this game is done, I'm done with it.
Yeah.
I ain't trying to fuck around no more. But that's all I have to say about Valhalla right now.
A lot of it is locked off until you get to certain missions, though,
mm-hmm.
unfortunately. So I'm zipping around back and forth, just doing mysteries and artifacts and what have you. Because I have, you know, decent fast travel. But other than that, I have also played Crash Bandicoot 4.
I heard that's the platformer that's ridiculously hard.
This will test your skills for sure. It will. This is classic Crash. If you enjoy Crash Bandicoot, but they have added some new innovations. So, of course, they have the masks in there. There's one where, like, you're flipping dimensions, kind of. So, like, a block over here will be solid. One over here will be clear. And then, you know, you'll flip them around. So, it'll change, like, the matter states. And you'll have to do that mid-jump. You know, it's crazy. They have another mask called a heavy matter mask. And you spin infinitely, but you can also float in the air. You can swap between him and his sister Coco at any time. Well, at least before you start the level.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, they have other playable characters in there. There is a I don't remember her name. I think it was Crash's girlfriend in one of the games, but she has like a grappling hook. She drop kicks people.
They got the alligator.
Yeah, there's a bunch of stuff in this game. But I mean, I didn't want to get too far into it because I wanted to finish Assassin's Creed. I felt like that was valuable AC time. But if you like Crash Bandicoot, I would recommend getting the game. It's pretty awesome. But other than that, that's all I've been playing.
Okay, okay.
So Douglas? Doug.
No, you can go, Cam. You fine. Go for it. We barely hear from you. You're back from your sojourn as Sultan. Talk to the plebs.
Just continue on the saga from last week where I admit that I was wrong and The Witcher is actually a fantastic game. The thing I hate about The Witcher, where I think DJ and Marcus are wrong, is Roach is literally the worst horse of all horses.
Oh man, wow. So you're gonna say that when they can't defend themselves.
No, yeah, I am. Like, I admit that I was wrong about The Witcher in general, but when it comes to the horse mechanic, it is the worst mechanic of the game. The horses are super glitchy.
They run into trees.
When you whistle for the...
I feel a middle finger from space just landing, is docking right now.
But, like, when you call the horse, it gets stuck in the environment, and then you have to go get onto the horse to move it around.
So you can't like, lead the horse by hand.
You know what?
You gotta be on his back.
I do like that difference in Assassin's Creed. You can call the horse in the water and hop on in the water.
Yeah. Well, you have to have the water, the perk for the horse, the water perk.
I mean, still, you can upgrade it to do that, but go ahead, Cam.
No, I mean, it's just, it literally, especially considering playing Red Dead, playing Odyssey, playing Ghost of Tsushima, playing Red Dead Redemption, Ghost of Tsushima, pretty much any other game that has a horse mechanic, you realize the one in The Witcher is the absolute worst. It's glitchy, the horse doesn't come, it works hard.
Hold up. You're playing the first Witcher though, right?
No, I'm playing Witcher 3.
He's playing Witcher 3.
Oh, I thought you were playing the first one.
No.
Have you just like wanted to like shoot your horse out of his misery because it's making you so angry?
I do, because I
mean, Roach does in fact sound that bad, you know, Cam? I'm gonna take note of this.
Or even comparing it to a game that came out in the same generation, Metal Gear Phantom Pain. That horse is fundamentally better than Roach. Like, all those horses are better. And combat, considering like the combat you had to use with The Witcher, if you want to use your horse during combat, which is a terrible idea, because the horse gets scared the moment it sees anything. it feels horrible. And I just want to say that so that way Margaret and DJ know that the horse is the worst mechanic of the game.
Well, Cam, I'll make sure to Instacart you some raid for your next playthrough.
Because of Roach.
Because of Roach. Marcus will be so pissed when he edits.
Cameron, is it so bad that you just consider walking everywhere?
I do, actually. The only time I don't is because The Witcher has those moments where you stumble into an area where like a dragon just flies in and it's like the skull marks over his head. And then because I'm playing on PS4, the load times are like trash. So if I die, that's going to be like...
I don't know nothing about loading. That.
I know you're 1%er. And so I was just like, I'll call the horse then so I can ride off. But then because the horse doesn't come immediately, so it's like 30 minutes of me rolling and dodging away from this monster to finally catch the horse.
Roach is like, he don't like me no more. I'm afraid to get to him.
How do we know you actually have a PS5 and not just a PS5 controller?
True.
Sean.
Don't challenge him.
All right. All right. Douglas.
You know what? Wild Douglas talks. Day?
Wow.
Well, I know, right? Mad disrespectful.
Let you know.
Every podcast, Sean finds a way to call us broke.
Broke, bitch. Anyway, so as usual, I've been busy at work, so I haven't been playing anything necessarily new. Although, with Dead by Daylight, a couple of my friends have been playing more because it is their annual Christmas event. Or this year, they call it their Advent calendar. So they're giving away new blood points, new skins, new charms, what have you, just so long as you just log in during those days and if you put in different codes. And they have a lot of that information on their website as well as on Twitter.
Isn't there a new character? I saw some trailers for them.
The twins and Elodie. So let me start with the twins. All of them are from France. Elodie is Parisian. But the twins is the killer. It literally is like they are formerly conjoined twins. And so basically, Charlotte is the bigger twin. And her brother, Victor, rests in a cavity in her chest.
Yeah,
and so,
it's creepy.
Oh, it is the creepiest killer they have. Literally, Victor crawls out of her chest and just runs around. And this is like, it's like Chucky. If you have Chucky at the same height and body, but just like screeching, running up at you in this dark map. I mean, it is really creepy. But however, you do have the opportunity once he like attacks you, you can crush him.
Mm-hmm.
Or as a lot of people have been calling, kick the baby. If Victor is left outside by himself while the killer who's playing the player is playing Charlotte, you can't play both people at once. You only can play one or the other. And so if Victor's alone and Charlotte's busy, you see Victor, you can kick him in the face and kill him for 6 seconds.
But it regrows,
yeah,
right?
6 seconds. So, I mean, which I hope they... I wish they kind of nerfed that a little bit because it is just, I think, very too soon if you kick a baby in the face to get one back. But,
What about the survivor?
Survivor Elodie, a young black woman. They gave us some more color in the game. Her perks tend to give you more opportunities to survive without a health kit. So, for example, she can go to a chest and she can, even though the chest has been open already, she can go and grab like up to, I think, three or five items in that chest. Just keep grabbing more stuff. One of my friends like got a new key out of it, you know, on his like fifth try. So it's pretty cool. And she also has this ability where she can, in the middle of a chase, she can open a locker door, which will cause a loud explosion to the killer. But for 3 seconds, she could run without leaving any marks. So she can use that to foil the killer and make a good getaway. So a lot of people enjoyed that technique.
I'm very impressed by how much Dead by Daylight had expanded over the last, 3 years since it's been out?
Yes. And they've done, over the past 6 months, have graphically updated nearly all the maps now. So
that's great.
You may not hear, but my dearly beloved is yelling at the TV screen because he's playing it right now with some of my friends on PlayStation. So that, and also the only other game I'm trying to get back into because I really want to finish it is the original Red Dead Redemption. I was playing it this summer, then I stopped. So now...
I wonder which is longer.
Wait, you mean Red Dead?
The first one.
Yeah, the first one.
The very, very first one. Yeah, John Marston.
John Marston.
Oh, wow.
So I'm finally...
Well, I mean, the very first one was Red Dead Revolver.
But... Yeah, I know about that, but go ahead.
Never beat that game, though.
But yeah, so I'm at the chapter where we're going after Dutch. So we found Dutch. We know he's living in the mountains in the cold with several other Native American tribes. And so...
He had a plan.
Trying to, I know what's going to happen. I mean, we all know what's going to happen to him. I just want to get through this, and then afterwards I need to finish probably in January. I'll get down and finally finish Sleeping Dogs. I stopped in the middle of that. I forget which game took my attention, but I stopped.
Oh, so you're playing Sleeping Dogs?
I played up to the first half. I enjoyed it, but then I had to stop.
Good game.
Is it the definitive edition that you got?
Yeah.
That's good.
That actually needs a sequel. That was a good idea.
You know, they kind of did one, but it was like a fucking MMO. It was an MMORPG that nobody played. That was their respite for a sequel.
I remember, I forget who owns the IP now. Square Enix. They own the IP.
Yes, Square Enix.
So they wanted to do a sequel. It'd be amazing. I mean, I don't know if they want to be able to. I mean, they're probably pissed off China if they kept it in the mainland. But I think that'd be such a great game. And also, one other tidbit. You know, I every once in a while, I do check on the folks at Telltale Games, the new Telltale Games, and they keep promising that in next year we will have some new IP, including a new. We'll see. A sequel to the Fairy Tales one with Bigby.
Hopefully it's made on a better engine.
Wolf Among Us or something.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're still owned by a venture capitalist company, and ZeniMax was owned by a venture capitalist company, and they made their studios work on the same engine for like over 6, 7, 8 years. So hopefully it's a new engine for their Telltale mm-hmm. game. So the engine they're using is trash. Well, it's glitchy as fuck.
They had some update posts over Thanksgiving weekend because somebody said that like, on Thanksgiving, I like playing Telltale. And we reply it back. It's like, yeah, we're working on it. So, hopefully later we'll get some news about them.
Cool.
Gotcha. Is that all, everybody?
Yep.
We're good?
Mm-hmm.
With that, that is what we've been playing. And now, a word from our sponsors. Sony, forgive me my PlayStation 5.
Ladies and gentlemen out there who's listening, he provided the physical evidence of his PlayStation 5 console.
Hey fam, how have you enjoyed this episode so far? Would you like to make sure you keep getting the best laughs, latest news, and most fire takes? You definitely want the fire takes. Then we're going to need your help. If you haven't been already, please subscribe to our show. And if you have, then tell 3 people about the podcast. It could be strangers, friends, loved ones, hated ones, like real hated ones. Every little bit helps. After you've done that, please follow us on Facebook and Instagram at PressXNumber2Start, Twitter at PressXNumber2S, and on YouTube at PressXToStartTV. If you've done all of that, well done. Platinum trophy achieved.
And we are back.
Ooh, yay!
Now, for the quick hits. Number one, this comes from videogamechronicles.com. Apparently, a new scalper group claims that they have obtained 1,000 Xbox Series X consoles.
Good luck moving those.
it wasn't a new one, John. I'm sorry. It was the same one from last week, but they said they have 1,000 Xboxes.
Good luck moving those. Like paying $2,000 for an Xbox.
No, they're paying up to $1,100, though.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, we talked about the math last week. They buy for the bot $40. They put their own money to buy the console $500. Then they have to turn a profit with it by fucking marketing up. So
are people actually? I mean, all jokes aside, like
mm-hmm.
I understand they have Xbox versions of third party games, but are people really paying over $1,000 for Xbox Series X?
People are playing premium mounts for both the Xbox Series X and the PlayStation 5. That's why these scalper groups are buying them with box the same way they're doing with PlayStation 5s. Like, they're still moving product, and that's why there's a shortage of Xbox Series X's. So,
that's crazy, man.
You know? I mean, like, there is a listing for Xbox Series X for $575 with expected delivery date of February 25th, 2021.
Wow.
So that's basically the fucking restock. So,
you know, it reminded me of Hamilton tickets, where it's like, yeah, if you bought the original ticket, it's only about a couple hundred dollars. But if you buy it from the scalper, because that's pretty much who actually had the stock to do it, it's going to cost you about a grand. So, I mean, yeah, it's
crazy.
Beautiful free market capitalism, everybody. Yay.
Number two, this comes from CNET. Fortnite Season 5 stars The Mandalorian, Baby Yoda, Hunters from Other Realities, and Kratos.
My friend finally gave me the kitty cat dance as Kratos, and it was amazing.
No, we need a missile strike on this house. Kratos should not be doing any of that.
But he has beat, though. Kratos got beat.
What do you mean he got beat? You mean he got rhythm? That's because Kratos is black. Did you forget? He's only white with the ash from his fallen enemies. And
his family. No, it was his family.
But this is season five, chapter two.
Yeah.
It started December 2nd, and it's called Zero Point. But none of us are playing that anymore. I kind of wish I was still playing it, but I can't get with the building.
There was a very weird tendril with this season of Fortnite where it actually went into the Marvel comics, like actual Marvel continuity.
Yeah, they did a Galactus event or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah, like that's like the actual Galactus from the 616 universe or some shit. It was Marvel comic fans hated it or something like that. They weren't too enthused.
I tried playing it on my Switch because I still had it installed for some reason, and I won my first match and then promptly got off of there.
That's all that matters.
I was like, I'm good. I'm good. This ain't for me. Number three comes from Radio.com. This man's wife sold his PS5 after he lied and said it was an air purifier.
Mm.
I don't understand how
evil
that was going to pan out for him when she asked him to purify the air.
Yeah, I do that vaping trick with the Xbox X.
So the continuation of the story was a rat had died in their apartment and the smell stayed. And she was asking, like, what the fuck's wrong with this purifier? He's like, oh, let me log out right quick and figure it out or some shit. So, yeah. he should have bought another purifier and hit that shit. Like,
yeah.
What's funny is that they have an air purifier in the article, and it actually does look like the PS5.
Looks a toy like it.
I'm guessing he had the digital version.
But he don't have it anymore. He had to give it up.
Trash. Number four. This is from GamesIndustry.biz. PS5 comes out on top in a massive month for console sales in the UK monthly charts. Almost 900,000 video game consoles are sold in the UK during November, according to the last GFK market data. And it was for the 4 weeks ending in November 28th. I mean, of course. Mm-hmm. This is
water is
the start
wet.
Of a new. Yeah, this is the start of a new
generation.
Generation is it's the month it came out. It's a pandemic. It's a craze. Like this is a predictable spike.
Yeah, it's like every time I see PlayStation and not so much on Xbox, but a lot of PlayStation hyping up about how, oh my god, we've had the number one sale. It's like, yeah, it's the PS5, of course, be the highest seller. Mm-hmm. I don't need to hear you blowing yourself in terms of how great you are. Just give
but
me
it's
my
not
console.
Them, it's the people tracking it. You know, the stats.
No. Sony hyped themselves up to. It's like corporate vanity while millions are waiting for their consoles.
I mean, how many PS4s did they sell last generation? You can't possibly expect to service the entire community. Some people are going to miss out. And this is the case with every new generation. It is just exacerbated by the pandemic, and video games are appealing to a wider audience now. Mm-hmm. So before, 20 years ago, it might have been easier to get a console if you're a gamer because everybody and their mama weren't trying to get one.
But Sean, do I need someone to give me a masturbatory ode about how great they are while so many people are waiting for a console? Like, that's the point that I'm talking about. Like, I don't need Sony to talk about how great they are when their product's not moving. I would much rather have Sony talk about how they're going to actually move those shipments into other people's hands. That would be much more interesting to me rather than them patting themselves on the back. And it's like, we want to be happy for you because you made some money.
Yeah.
Big whoop.
Microsoft is more interested in talking about their Game Pass subscriptions than their console sales. And Phil Spencer went on the record about that, like about how many Game Pass users that they have. But mathematically, you can get a good explanation about the amount of Game Pass users saying that 75% of Game Pass users, of Xbox Series X owners, are Game Pass users, which is interesting. It's a lot of Game Pass users, though.
Well, number five comes from IGN. Dune, which, wait, is this a new Dune? I've never watched the first one. Dune, The Matrix 4, Mortal Kombat, what the hell? Is this 1996?
Feels like it.
This is coming... This is coming to HBO Max along with the entire WB 2021 slate. It's going to be exclusive. It's going to be on HBO Max for a month, I believe.
Nice.
They're going to be testing some new things out. Is there another list of what else is coming out? The Suicide Squad. I didn't even realize. I forgot about Mortal Kombat.
Now you can watch it at home.
Wonder Woman 84, Godzilla versus Kong. Yeah. The Suicide Squad. I was already going to watch half of this shit at home anyway. I got popcorn time.
Mm-hmm.
But it is what it is.
I just need to know how I'm going to watch James Bond. I don't want to watch that at home. I want to see it on a big screen, but...
Go buy you a hazmat suit, my guy.
And a face mask.
Paramount tried selling James Bond to Netflix for $200 million, and Netflix was like, no.
Yeah.
So, like, they have shopped around for a vendor for James Bond, and I think they're asking for too much for it.
Yeah. But it's like, there's some things, it's just so... Like, I just know it's a great film.
Is this still Daniel Craig?
Yeah, yes. It's his last one.
Daniel Craig, yeah.
No Time to Die or something.
Yeah, number one hit in Britain, UK hit for Billie Eilish song of the same name.
I mean, wait, is the movie already out?
No.
No, they finished the movie. It was supposed to come out April of this year. Then they moved to October.
Then October, then November, and then they were... Shopping around, I guess, find a subscription service.
Netflix has done the numbers and doesn't feel that it's worth it. Like, maybe if it was like the second James Bond movie with a newer, you know, person playing James Bond, or like the first, it might have been worth it, $200 million. But
no, but also, we don't know how much do Eon Productions want for Bond. I mean, this is a 60-year-old
franchise.
Unfortunately, I mean, with the recent passing of his lead man,
people might have James Bond fatigue.
No, I don't think you get fatigue. No, I think it's just a matter of them making sure they get their profits that they want. Because this would have been a big hit had it been to the film or in the theaters. I'm not sure they'd be able to, I don't know how they'd be able to recoup any much of that money. Because these are also expensive films to make.
I suppose. Next up, number six. This is coming from Deadline. Oscar Isaac is going to star Solid Snake in Sony's Metal Gear Solid movie.
Boo! And let me tell you why.
Are you booing the franchise or the movie itself?
A little bit of both. First reason is David Hayter is the only Solid Snake I will ever recognize. Secondly, I believe after all that work he has done for the Metal Gear Solid franchise, even when they did the remaster on GameCube, he came out of his own pocket to get the original voice actors for the Metal Gear Solid original one. And then all that for Kojima to throw him away in Phantom Pain and with Ground Zeroes, the disrespect. This man's put that entire franchise on his back. Then in Metal Gear Solid 4, Guns of the Patriots, he does the live-action Solid Snake interview. So, you know what I'm saying, he has the weight to carry. He's also one of the writers on, I believe, The Matrix. And so he has the chops, he has the weight. He is the iconic Solid Snake when I think about Solid Snake. And no disrespect to Oscar Isaac, but David Hayter is the only Solid Snake I will ever recognize.
But Cam, I have a question. Fact. So he's putting all his money into a property that he don't own, that he don't control.
He didn't put all this money, but this, I mean, it was just a big deal. Like, as a fan, you love these particular voices. And so, I mean, this was early 2000s when the GameCube was, the thing.
Yeah.
And so when he did Metal Gear Solid Twin Snakes, and they couldn't afford to really get the original voice actors there, like, he put up his own money to do that because, like, he loves and cares about the franchise, and you can tell by the way he's acted. And you can tell when he was taken out of the picture in Metal Gear Solid 5, there was a dramatic decrease. And Keith Sutherland could not carry the weight of being not Solid Snake, Naked Snake, or Snake, or whoever you want to call him at that time. Keith Sutherland did not do a good job, and you can tell by the fact that it was really Troy Baker as Aqua, which is not a really good Aqua in my opinion, but Troy Baker as Aqua carrying the entire production. So David Hayter is the only Solid Snake I will ever recognize, and that's a fact.
I think 5 and 1 are the only ones I didn't play. Just because of the way I heard they told a story, you had to get it through the tapes and all that. I actually enjoyed those long-ass cinematics.
Metal Gear Solid 3, Snake Eater is my favorite. 4, Pinnacle. It wore me out. Like, it did wear me out, but I will gladly play those again. Anyway, I mean, I'll still go see the movie, but I just want to let you know.
So you're going to watch the movie with your arms crossed?
In protest. I'm going to give you my money, but I'm going to not like it.
Not my Solid Snake. And who knows, depending on the studio, I might end up watching on HBO Max anyway.
Oh, man. Number 7, this is coming from Gaming Bible. Apparently, Assassin's Creed Valhalla player thanks the devs for bringing joy to his friends' last days. Apparently, it was this pair of friends that would always play the game together, and if one couldn't afford it, they would buy it for the other. So they've been playing since, I think, the first Assassin's Creed.
Wow.
And this Reddit user named Paradoran revealed that they just lost their friend to COVID-19, so he had bought him the game when they got ill. So I'm good. You know, he played as much as he could of it. Yeah.
You know, it's just the unifying power of video games in general.
Yeah. We're not all out here trying to throw bricks off of overpasses as they thought we used to.
You know, we actually do that with my PlayStation, my Overwatch group. We help put money together so that we could buy one of my colleagues a pair of glasses.
That's good.
Because we're about 5 or 6 of us, but we... Between here and I think Texas is like the farthest out, but we all come together to support one another.
What y'all put in $5, $4 each?
Oh no, we put some. She got some nice glasses.
Glasses can be expensive,
but
you could have got them on Zenny.com for free. So, all
right. No, we're not sponsored by them. Shut up, boy.
Anyway, no, okay, I'm joking. But no, that's pretty cool. Gaming brings a lot of people together. I actually saw on Reddit a lot of people buying their longtime gaming friends systems, like an Xbox One X, or people picked up another PlayStation 5 for their friend that they had been playing Call of Duty or Halo over, you know, with for the past decade. So I mean, gaming does bring a lot of people together.
I had a friend do that for me.
It's not
for
sex, drugs, and violence.
From my PlayStation. Go ahead, Jordan. My PlayStation 4, but my friend from Austin, Texas. We were very close friends on Xbox 360. And he moved on to PS4. He still wanted to play on PS4. And I'm like, I'm on PS4 right now. I mean, I wasn't buying it at the time or didn't have any incentive to buy it. But he got a PS4 Pro and gave me his old PS4, which I still appreciate to this day.
Oh, that's cool. I have not gone through that. You know, it is what it is. Number 8. This comes from PlayStation Lifestyle. Neil Druckmann, the infamous. Confirms that he'll still be writing and directing games as Naughty Dog's co-president. He just got a promotion from Naughty Dog. Now, a lot of haters who hated The Last of Us 2 are saying that they will never buy another Naughty Dog
game. That's very dumb.
I mean, if you have a stance, I mean, you know, that's fine. If you're pushing an agenda.
I'm seeing the logic, looking from the discourse outside in for those detractors of Last of Us 2. This doesn't warrant condemning a whole developer like that. Company, I'm like, yeah. Like, they make so many other IPs and shit. Sly Cooper and stuff. Well, I don't know. They did Sly Cooper, right?
Nah.
But I mean, like, they have a good reputation of making good games, so why would you just, like, Abby, this, and...
They did Jack and Daxter, that's what it was. Yeah. Sucker Punch did Sly Cooper.
People are in their own way. They're in their own way.
It's kind of silly. They had a lot of folks hoping that he would be ousted from Naughty Dog, but...
For what?
It was just announced that he was going to be the co-president, so... That's pretty cool. I'm curious to see what Naughty Dog will be working on next. Mm-hmm. What would you guys like to see from Naughty Dog next?
A new IP.
Original IP? A sequel?
Yeah, something new, please.
A better shooting mechanic.
Maybe you're just trash.
And a dedicated jump button.
You look like a jump button. Number 9. Blizzard Watch.
Oh, God.
How to earn and use the new priority pass in Overwatch. Well, Douglas, I'll let you take this one because I don't play Overwatch that much.
Yeah, and I don't know much about this either, other than the fact that so right now there is an issue where not many people want to play tank. Tank is probably one of the most unpopular roles to play, and so when people queue up for different roles, either in quick play or competitive, you may have a 2-minute wait for tank, 3 to 5 minute wait for heal, and like 10 minutes and above for damage. And so they're trying to create a system whereby people can essentially have quicker queues in the damage position. And so one idea they did earlier was that, well, if a person was playing a role and they were jumping them over a game, so they didn't have to play a full match or maybe a half match or what have you, when they queue up again, they'll get priority and they could choose DPS and cut that 10 melee to maybe 5. Now,
why do you feel like people don't want to play tank?
First, I think damage is much more fun to play. Healing is the easiest role to play, usually. And tanking, you just feel like you're most vulnerable because you can't move as fast as a tank for the most part. Many people, they feel so dependent on others, so you don't have that independence as, say, a damage character, even as a healing character.
Do you feel like most healers are maybe trash and that's why nobody wants to play tank because they're not keeping them alive? Or they need more buffs?
Well, the thing is, I think people don't have as much fun playing tank compared to other players. I think that's part of it. And even shield tanks, I think, are much more popular versus some of the other off tanks because people feel like, say, being a Wrecking Ball, you have more versatility. You can move around quickly. Oftentimes, though, those players also, except for Brandon. Brandon's a good guy at playing Wrecking Ball. But otherwise, a lot of Wrecking Ball is also just do reckless things because they're flanker. They're supposed to get in and get out. Some people just go too far out, then beg for heals. And I'm like, I ain't healing you over there. You can die. So they create this priority press. At least they're testing out on PC to see if we are able to create this a new currency, essentially, to help buy your way to a quicker queue. You don't put real money. You earn those points by playing other roles to facilitate quicker queues. And then you're able to accumulate the points in this currency to help cut the line. It seems so convoluted. Really, really convoluted. Just help them make better characters.
Well, a table of people sat down and worked on that and decided that's the best they could do. But it is what it is. That was it for the quick hits. Now moving on to the heavy hitters. Bushy head over there. Take it away.
Yo, I hate you. I but big heavy hitter is Casey Hudson and Mark Dara to lead the studio for BioWare. But the all current projects they have in slate, like Dragon Age 4, Mass Effect, are going to be continued as planned. This is a big deal because these folks have been with the studio for a long time. Most notably, Hudson has left BioWare before. I think this is his second departure. He left in 2014, then came back in 2017. And then he switched to a new role once Anthem started tanking, and then he just left. And so this is a big deal because the community typically views these folks as the brainchild behind BioWare's success as an RPG-type company. When you think about the stellar writing, the way that you care about the characters, you think about these two people who have really made BioWare where it is. However, there is a little bit of controversy around their departure. So the actor who plays Commander Cullen went on the offensive and attacked Mark in a Twitter exchange. So check this out. So once Mark announced that he was leaving BioWare, Ellis, what's his name? Greg Ellis, who voices Commander Cullen from the entire Dragon Age series, gives some remarks. And so what he says is, and a relief to many others, speaking to Mark's departure, I've worked for you for over 10 years as the voice of Cullen and Anders. Wow, he was the voice of Commander Anders in Mass Effect? Didn't know that. Anyway, and have never worked with someone more disloyal, duplicitous, and a corporate fake. Your enforced resignation is a victory for BioWare and its employees, and particularly the fans.
Damn!
So that kind of, you know, he slaps it down, and it kind of gives you the sense that there was more to their departure than, you know, them saying in the announcement that, you know, our time has kind of come, you know, we've been here forever.
Cam, did he reply, though? Come on. Bring in the heat.
But Mark responds, hey there, Greg. I've been letting you slide.
Oh!
Whoa. I've been letting you slide for a while, but I think Dragon Age Day may be the day when that ends. Mm. Jeez. If there's some world where you imagine that your behavior with regard to me and the community in general will cause you to ever be hired on a Dragon Age game, I'm not sure if this is performative in some way in order to get the attention of a different group, but certainly it isn't going to endear you to a company that cares about public image. What's important to note here in this whole exchange is, one, like Mark dropping these subtle hints that Greg will not be a part of like future Dragon Age projects, which is a big deal considering how Commander Cullen has been like unifying character within many of the Dragon Age games. But then the other part is when he says, I'm not sure if you're doing this to get the attention of a particular group. Mm-hmm. And that particular language was important because one thing about Greg is that he has been gravitating towards these, what people consider out-of-the-box thinkers or right-wing thinkers. So he's been really connecting with Jordan, the Jordan Petersons, the Charlie Kirk, the Kanye Wests, Candace Owens, and the, you know, the guy from the Rubin Report. So typically people that you hate on the internet. and he's been considered a Blexit supporter. So Blexit,
okay.
No, Blexit, the Candace Owens one. You know, when the black people are supposed to leave.
Oh my God,
the
Democratic,
really? Plantation. Oh, so he's been gravitating and supporting that.
What? Wait, hold on. Wait, black people supposed to get off the plantation? That's what he believes?
Yeah.
The Democratic plantation.
Yeah, the Democratic plantation where black people need to think for themselves.
That type of thought.
And by think for themselves, think as a Republican. So never actual free thinking. But think what we want you to think, but not Democrat.
So they can join the Bread and Roses party in Maryland. Whatever the fuck that is.
Or the Diddy Our Black Party. So this is a juicy turn of events where as a supporter of the Bioware world, I'm concerned because you do have Dragon Age 4, you do have new Mass Effect, and I'm concerned about the direction of these games in addition to whatever's going on with EA. But then you have this juicy battle between a senior staff, a guy who's kind of built the universe, and a writer, and a like cemented voice actor. I mean, if this would be kind of going back to David Ayer, this would literally be like if David Ayer said, like, Kojima is a piece of crap. It would kind of be like in a similar vein.
Yeah, I don't know how that, I mean, this is famously an industry with no unionization. So I don't know how one keeps a job if you doing Twitter beefs outside. Like, that doesn't, I don't know how that'd fly. I mean, and especially when, you know, in the world of acting, there's always another actor who wants your spot. So it's not like you can, I mean, even for people, like I said, Hayden, even if you're great in a role, the powers that be, they don't want you. They don't need to keep you, you know? And
yeah,
I'm really curious, why would one submit such a flamethrower without some type of pecuniary interests out there to repay it?
Yeah, I mean, and then particularly, like, I only know of him from one game, and, you know, that's his fame. I mean, it's not like, for example, it's not like it's Nolan North or Troy Baker or Jennifer Hale or, you know, those folks where they, like, pissed off one person, but, like, you know, Nolan North, Jennifer Hale, and Troy Baker pretty much voice every video game we ever play. So it's like, it's going to be pretty hard to separate them from any game in this industry. But this guy, you know, he only does Dragon Age. And at the state of BioWare, it might not even be good when the next one come out.
That's not even a huge franchise like that.
Yeah, to echo your point, Cam, yeah, I am worried about BioWare's survivability over the next couple of years. As we go deeper into this console generation, BioWare kind of stumbled out of this last one, you know, with both Anthem and to an extent, Mass Effect Andromeda. So losing people.
Were they a part of ZeniMax?
No, they weren't. No, they EA owns BioWare. So, and also it goes back to the old history of EA. I mean, I'm not trying to say that this is specifically EA's fault, but companies rarely thrive under EA's umbrella. So,
that's where companies go to die.
that's the ongoing narrative. But Respawn survived so far, though.
I mean, not like barely, but yeah. I mean,
it was not with EA's direction.
No, and their president has been very vocal about that. They're like, we don't even answer emails. We just signed the checks. Like, he's been very vocal about, we don't fuck with EA like
straight
that.
Straight to voicemail.
They do my HR work, and that's it.
We need money to support this game. Bam.
Well, next heavy hitter, and our last heavy hitter, Douglas.
Okay, so earlier we talked about how in Watchdog Legion, there was a music video side quest where a player can be a part of a music video for the singer Stormzy. And so Warner Music UK was in an interview at GameIndustry.biz where they talk about how the example of using Stormzy in Watch Dogs Legion is an example that we should expect to see more often. And he brought up, in particular, Billie Eilish and her new song for the James Bond franchise. The headline is, if artists want to be in the next James Bond, they should want to be in the next AAA game. And here's a good quote from Tim Miles, who is the VP of synchronization at Warner Music UK. He said, well, Stormzy was blown away spending 5 days with the iRobot creative director. It was the first time he recorded a music video like this, and he was being rendered on screens all around him. But at that point, his appearance was going to be via DLC. And on our side, we were still talking about it just within our team. Then it started to get wider, and they wanted to be in the main game, and we managed to engage our radio folk, the streaming teams, and our marketers. The week that Watch Dogs Legion came out, there were various visuals on Spotify. Normally, Ubisoft wouldn't have access to a space like that. That song, Stormzy's song, is now on the Radio 1 playlist, and every time they play that song, they can reference the game Watch Dogs Legion. Ubisoft got good value of it, and in return, the amount of games press talking about Stormzy also came up. Mm-hmm. It really benefited both sides. And so, music in video games is not new. I mean, you've had, like, Hudson Mohawk was the music director for Watch Dogs 2. You know, you have, well, no, even Def Jam's had a wrestling series in video games. But now we're trying to see a closer connection, especially what if you have a music video in a game? What if you have a artist who has a new album that's about to drop, but they're trying to pare it down with the storyline of a video game? I mean, if there's profit to be made, they will find it. And yeah, I'm curious to see how that is. I mean, do you guys see the same thing in terms of a closer connection between mainstream music and now mainstream games?
It makes sense considering like how open the worlds are becoming and more interactive where the like, let's look at Cyberpunk 2077, right? And you have Wash the Jewels, who...
Run the Jewels.
Yeah, whatever that is. Oh, man.
So you're talking about Wash the Throne? Get the fuck out of here.
Right. But Run the Jewels...
He's as old as he looks.
Actually, Kanye West was in GTA 4.
Yep.
Yeah.
That was the opening song.
Until they lost a license, though.
Yeah. And so here, Run the Jewels is a part of the soundtrack, and I think they're also doing a music video set within the 2077 world. I think it makes sense because these new worlds are designed to be worlds that are lived in, and so music is as much as part of the world as, things as simple as going to a bar and ordering a drink in the game. So it makes sense to me. I think where I'm interested from a legal perspective is like, what do these artist 360 deals look like? So for example, if you're looking at most artists now make all their money on tours and stuff. And so if you're doing like Travis Scott or Lil Nas X, and you're creating these virtual concerts in world, are they part of like your contract from an endorsement perspective, or is it part of your touring
360, like,
you know what I'm saying? And like, because like, what share of that money are you getting? And so if you create a music video in your world, like, and people attend because they're part of the open world concept, like, that's why I'm interested in, like, kind of the legality of that.
Wow, think about how many people watched that original Travis Scott event in Fortnite. Like, I'm wondering how much he got paid off of that based off of viewers and what have you.
But I imagine he's not being paid by viewers. I imagine Epic would just probably give you a blank check.
Game a lump sum of money.
Music's been a part of video games for a long period of time. I think Tony Hawk really broke down the wall when it comes to music being a part of the experience. But you are getting into that weird time to which like now it's music personalities. It can be a part of the narrative or the world itself. So, yeah, it's going to continue to evolve, and we'll see if there's any hiccups along the way in terms of usership.
I'm of two minds on this. It's kind of cool to see bigger names and bigger properties involved in video games, but how long before it starts to blend and, like, you have advertisements in the middle of your game for UFC and NBA.
Are you comparing the music artists to advertisements, though?
I don't mean that.
Like, what was it?
DLC's doing it.
The developer that did Control, what's the game they did before that? The one they did Control, Alan Wake.
Alan Wake?
Oh, yeah.
No, but the game in between that.
Quantum Break. Exclusive.
Yeah. So they had Pepsi and Mountain Dew endorsements in, like, on the billboards in that game. And you know what I'm saying? Like, it's so innocuous that people didn't really, like, pay attention to it, but it's already a part of the world. We're already being,
like, kind of...
Well, if you try to do an open real world, it would be there, though.
I didn't like that they had the advertisement for Norman Reedus's ride in Death Stranding. The monster can, fine.
Well, okay.
I'm going to take a piss, and I'm seeing him on, you know, a motorcycle advertising ride on...
So, you know what? I get what you're saying. I think, Sean, like, yeah, there's a degree to which it's obnoxious. Like, if there's an event within Assassin's Creed about how we had, like, chase down Spritekiss the Third or some shit like that. You know?
I mean, like, they have a baseball player in there called Slugger.
That was
Otto
weird.
Slugger. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like,
he just wanted to be in the game, though. I don't think that was like a.
I want Beyonce in the next GTA.
And that's, I mean, it's just weird, and I'm not sure how much of it I want to blend it together.
Yeah.
Once again.
About, like, what you loved about Miles Morales, I remember from watching the review, was, like, Tennessee. That opening scene when you're coming off the train station, and you have the headphones, and you hear the music, you see Miles engage into his world, you know, like, that's immersive. Like, you love that.
Mm-hmm.
It makes him more of a believable person.
But it wasn't like... It wasn't like, listen to this new Travis Scott song that Miles Morales is listening to. Like, it was a generic ass, whatever the hell, you know. It's just weird. How much do you want it blended in your world? About, you know what I mean?
You want it. It depends on the character.
Well, I would say, look at GTA, because GTA is always known for their radio stations.
Right.
And yeah. What if you're in a situation where the radio station you listen in your car in the video game is actually pulled from current music that you can hear in your car in real life?
They actually had a feature like that with the PSP version of GTA Vice City Stories or something like that, mm-hmm. where it would play your music on a radio station.
No, but it'd be like, it's a partnership with iHeartRadio.
I got you.
Or Spotify.
We'll have to see how, when Cyberpunk 2077 comes out, because, like, there's many artists associated with that game, and one is that Norwegian or whatever rock band that Keanu Reeves is a part of, but that's been rebranded as, like, an inverse type thing. Everyone else, like Run the Jewels, Grime, and, you know, whomever they have coming into the game, we'll just see it like Grand Theft Auto, just like, that's just the radio, that's just your music playing, and not an actual character crest.
It makes sense in the world. I'm just saying, you know, how far are we going to blend this to where it takes you out and it gets obnoxious?
No, it'll get there.
And it's all in the name of profit. But
well, as much as possible, because that's in the name of profit.
Exactly.
I guess.
Like, it's going to happen.
I mean, well, John, would you have been more comfortable if Run the Jewels played a parody of themselves? Like, Watch the Jewels or whatever? Like, like a pseudo
Hold the Jewels
type thing?
Instead that would have been an in joke. Fine. It would have been a meme. Yeah, I probably would have been more comfortable with that. It would have been an in joke type meme thing. I love when companies embrace memes, kinda. But
having like our world go into theirs, you're like, I don't know.
Yeah, it's getting kind of funny. I'm an old school gamer, but older than Cam.
You still have your Blockbuster card?
Funny enough, I actually remember renting games from Blockbuster. My grandmother used to rent games every time I visited her down in Florida.
Hell yeah.
For me. That's when I actually played the first Grand Theft Auto. But that's it for today, guys. This has been another episode of Press X to Start. Thank you for listening. Anybody else have any closing statements or anything they want to add?
Watch out for your PS5 boxes.
Well... If you missed anything, you want to hear more from us, check us on our social feeds on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, and Twitch. And you can get all the links for those and more at pressxnumber2start.com. See you next time.
Tutala.